so cool.
We did, we're at Little Mermaid that day, and that was fun.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to the work session for the City of Cedar Hills. Today is Tuesday, August the 4th, 2015. I currently have 6:02 p.m. I'd like to call our work session to order. First item that we're going to talk about tonight will come up in our council meeting as well, but Mr. Gordon, I'm going to have you talk about the community center usage, and then council will join in on that.
Thank you, Mayor. We really are looking for direction from you tonight. I know this is something that Councilmember Reese asked to put on the agenda tonight, and so in your packets you should have got some information from us with rent pricing for residents. Really what we're wanting to do is leave from here today and know exactly what it is that you want us to do in the building and understanding some of the ramifications that come with it. So whatever way you want to go, we're happy to do. We really just need your direction. I know we discussed this in the retreat, and so that's something that we've been really wanting and needing since then. Hopefully you got some of the information. I know that there's a lot of things and a lot of people saying that it's not being utilized as much as it should be, and there's probably some truth to that. There's obviously some issues as to why too, and budget plays a large role in that. But we do have a lot of people outside of our karate programs and some of the other things that we do that rent the space from us. We obviously have been working with IFA, with a resident by the name of Diane Farr on some community classes. IFA, nobody showed up, so they just said, we're going to put it off till next year and hopefully start back up earlier in the year and get a good advertising campaign going on both ends. Diane's still going. I understand she had a little bit better participation last week, which was really good. I know she's very passionate about it. So other than that, though, Jill is starting back up with boot camps the end of this month. I actually spoke to a lady today who's interested in doing a Zumba class again. We have the tumbling class that's going to be starting back up again. You know, there's a number of things. We've had missionary farewells here every Sunday for the last couple of weeks, and I know we have another one this week. Baby showers, as you saw last council meeting downstairs in the fitness room. So we get creative in a lot of things that we do. But really what we want is some direction from what you want us to see going forward. So really, I kind of feel like the forum is for you.
Can I ask you a couple questions?
Absolutely.
So when you said, this is the first I'd heard that we have missionary farewells on Sundays. When a resident reserves for that, are they paying the full rate? So is that, you know, like $150 an hour or whatever the resident rate is?
No, they are not. In fact, if you see that sheet that was attached to your packet, the rental rates for the Vista at Cedar Hills.
That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah, and we have a separate contract. It's not a contract. It's a form that we have people fill out. So it's kind of treated like, depends on the room, like the conference room, the basement rooms. You know, if it's 8 to 5 during the regular weekday hours, it's $20 an hour. If it's outside of business hours, because we have to have a staff member there, it's $30 an hour. But then right above that, you'll see the rental rates for half rooms on the very top there. They typically do half rooms. So right in the middle of the page there, there's the hourly rate to rent the Vista room. We pretty much go by that. Now, like the Eagle Court of Honor, you'll also see at the bottom, $50 an hour. We try, for a lot of those kind of groups, we try to stay within that. So missionary farewells like the one this week, and I don't have the details of how many hours it is. I was in there when she was finalizing things with them yesterday. I know they're paying $200. And they're residents.
So for which room is that?
For just this quarter. So it's just half the room.
Okay.
So I guess what I would like to see, data-wise, is I would like to see, and I don't know how easy it is to get these numbers, but maybe over the past 12 months, how many residents have utilized the Vista room?
Okay.
I'd like to see how many Mondays and Tuesdays we're renting it out for receptions, or how many times it's empty. To just get a better feel for what we're talking about, because my suggestion, one of the ideas I had was, well, what if we kept Mondays and Tuesdays for residents at the really cheap rate of $20 an hour, whatever we're going to do. And I get where you're coming from, because you've got a budget to meet. And that's where I said in my email, I don't know if you saw my email, but I'm perfectly fine adjusting the budget, because we shouldn't hold you accountable for something if we're saying we want to go a different direction, you know.
Sure.
So at the retreat, we talked a lot about whether this was going to be, what the priority of this building was. And I thought that we had walked away as a council saying the priority is community events over revenue, but maybe we didn't budget that way.
Exactly.
And if we didn't budget that way, then that's on us and we need to fix it because, well, if the council agrees, my perspective is the priority should be community, the second priority should be revenue. And if we budgeted with the first priority being revenue and the second priority being community, then we should adjust for that. Would be my recommendation, just because the feedback that I'm getting is a lot of residents feel like it's too expensive for them to use it, and they're never coming here because it's not really a community center. And so how do we make it so?
Sure. So I guess what we really need to know, and I guess what we need to delve down deeper into, is are they talking from a perspective of renting for a wedding or for a baby shower per se? And then going to the second part is where we need direction from you is, again, we're going to do whatever you tell us to do. However, when we say community events are a priority, does that mean on weekends? Or can we say, hey, community events are a priority, but let's try to schedule those during the weekday?
Right.
Because, you know, going back to your Monday, Tuesday, we can look. You can pull up our calendar that's on the city website, and you can tell how many days it's been used.
But
Tuesdays
are
very, very common.
Yeah.
They're in here, as you see, because we move downstairs a lot.
Yeah. So what I don't know, though, I'm looking at the schedule, it just says that it's booked. I don't know if that's a paying event, if it's a reception, if it's a, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I just know that it's being utilized. And so from where I can see, I can't see what it's being used for.
Oh,
like all
okay,
the Tuesdays,
okay.
You know, two Tuesdays a month are booked out. It says booked out, but it's really a council meeting most
right,
of the time.
Right.
So I don't know if it's a city event versus a reception. So I just like to know, you know, what impact we're going to have if we said, okay, Mondays and Tuesdays, we're just going to hold it for residents to use. And when I say residents to use, I'm not talking about having big wedding receptions, because that's a lot of staff time and setup and stuff. But if they want to do an Eagle Court of Honor, or they want to have a book club night or something like that, where we're making it available to residents that they don't have to book it way in advance, or they have to only book it within a certain period of time, and it's affordable for them to use it for small things, you know, for those kinds of things.
Sure.
To make it more community. And I would love to find ways to have more community things here too. And I know you've done a ton of work trying to find things for this facility, and some things have worked and some things haven't.
Sure.
And I've told people that I think you've done a great job of analyzing every program that you do, and you come back to the council and you say, this worked, you know, we had this many participants and this is what the numbers look like, and this didn't work.
Sure.
And that's very helpful, and I appreciate that. So I just think if we can find more things that we're doing, whether it's people have recommended, like, you know, merit badge classes or something like that, if we're just trying to find more opportunities for a wider range of community events, I think that would go a long way with a lot of people in the community.
Okay.
And even if we can only do, like I said, Monday or Tuesday nights, or even Monday nights or something, I don't know. I need to, like I said, I'd like to see more numbers on how much it's being utilized as a revenue source right now on Mondays and Tuesdays, to see what impact that would have if we decided to hold it just for residents.
Okay. You know, and one thing, if you can see on that memo I put on there, one thing to take into consideration, and I don't know what, when you're saying, let's keep them open for Monday, Tuesdays, if you're talking a specific dollar amount, a range for residents, but working with Charles, we did do the, you know, rent within the 30 or the 45 day window at the cost, you know, and Charles figured out what the cost is. You know, one of the recommendations is we could put a link on our city website and residents could look at it and look 30 to 45 days out and say, hey, we don't have something booked, and then we'll work with them. And if it's a lower rate, whatever it is you want to do, I mean, again, we're willing and we will do anything you ask us to do. So
yeah. And I would imagine for some people, if they're going to have, let's say, a birthday party or something, they might need longer than 30 days, you know what I mean? If they're going to have people coming in from out of town or whatever, that's where I'm trying to figure out. How do we make it where residents always know this is my set time where I can use it, you know, and I'm just throwing out ideas right now.
Sure,
I don't have a
sure.
solution for you right now. I'm just, there's this feeling, I think, amongst a number of people in our community, the frustration, and I know you've heard this, is that the facility was built with the recreation impact fees.
Sure.
And it is paid for with tax dollars ongoing, and we call it a community center, but a lot of people feel like really the number one priority is it's a revenue generator. And if that's the case, my personal opinion is we got to fix that. It should first and foremost be a community center to the best of our abilities and make it so.
Yeah. Yeah,
but again, if that means we have to adjust the budget, I think we need to do that. We shouldn't hold you accountable for numbers that if we're going to change
right.
course a little bit.
Right. I mean, even community events, you know, a teen dance or whatever, you know, the things that we can work with. You know, obviously our ideal situation is being able to find somebody who would volunteer. And, you know, a great example is the story time. You know, we had story time that was every week, and, you know, Marisa Wright would come read stories to little kids, and it was great. You know, we had somebody that would volunteer their time, and it didn't affect the budget. You know, going forward, if we have events that are at nights, you know, that will add a little bit of budget to us from an expense standpoint, unless we can find people who are willing to do the same type of thing. And that's always the best, grassroots level, finding people who are willing to volunteer their time. Having said that, people are busy, you know, yeah. and we get that, so we're willing to do, you know, whatever the direction is that you give us.
I'm looking at the calendar, and it looks like it's pretty consistently booked every Saturday and mostly Fridays, too.
Yeah, Friday, will always
Saturdays
be booked.
Pretty much booked.
Yeah, but and Thursdays are really popular.
But it looks really empty Monday through Wednesday. I mean, the only thing in the whole month of August, Monday through Wednesday, is city council meeting, and then one thing on the 31st. But maybe we ought to look at reducing resident rates for Monday through Wednesday, like extremely. That's something that I think we.
You know, and again, my philosophy, and it's always been my philosophy, I'd rather be on the lower end of rental rates personally, mm-hmm. because rather than having a higher rental rate mm-hmm. and having two events a week, I'd rather have people in here all the time. Now, that's just from a revenue standpoint, mind you. Right. But there's no better form of advertising when somebody comes to somebody's wedding and they see it and then they think, well, I want to get there married as well. Now, that's a selfish standpoint from revenue. So you're right, though. I mean, Monday through Wednesday, typically, there's not a lot. Summers, there are a lot more because obviously that's really wedding season. Like this month, we've got quite a bit. But Tuesdays, if you see like it says on the schedule, I think it's 6 to 9, that means it's a council. Anything other than that's a 7-hour window, those are receptions.
Yeah, there's one.
So I guess I have a few comments I want to make. One is, and I'll come in close so you can hear me. One comment I have to make is that I think there's a difference between a community-wide event versus a resident event. So the perception a lot of residents have is they're just not up here very much because there's not a lot going on for them to attend. Whether it's booked for a golf tournament or a non-resident wedding or a resident bridal shower doesn't make any difference to them if it doesn't get them personally in the building.
Sure.
And so I think what we discussed at our council retreat was a high priority for community-wide events where literally everybody is invited. And I would love to see more of those. Mm-hmm. The merit badge classes are a good idea, but I'm thinking more along the lines of like the pancake breakfast we're having, the Santa party we have. If there is a way, I don't know what the cost of those things are, but if there is a way to have more of those events, it really would get the community here and involved. So for me, that's my number one priority. My number two priority is to talk to the council, and I'd really would love to hear from the council in terms of, are we willing to trade off revenue for more resident use of the building? In other words, I think our numbers showed $80,000 surplus coming from...
After a budget amendments, yeah. So really we doubled it.
So, I mean, we made a big chunk of money this year by focusing on revenue, primarily non-resident use of the building. How much is the council willing to eat into that? Would we, for example, be really happy if we just said, you know what, we're going to chop that down to zero, we're not going to expect any revenue at all coming from the building, and we'll just leave this facility open round the clock for any resident to use, and $10 an hour. Would that make residents happy with that choice? Is that a good choice for us? It gets plenty of people here, certainly kills our budget.
Yeah.
A previous council made the decision purposely to build this as a reception area, purposely to offset some of the losses from the golf course. And they're looking at the numbers and saying, 100K, 150K a year losses on the golf course. If we bring in 80K of revenue, that chops that at least in half, if not by quite a bit more. And their prediction is proven true. That's why they built this space. And so if we want to go in a completely different direction, say we don't care about offsetting that loss, we'd rather have residents in the building, we ought to be very clear about making that decision, and we ought to make sure that's what residents want. because right. that is a major trade-off.
Yeah, and I will throw in the caveat that, you know, the flip side of that is, too, if we do what you're discussing, then that could also negatively impact golf by tournaments. Because if we do say this building's open on specific days, we may turn away a 144-player golf tournament. So there's the pros and cons to both sides. But again, you know, we'll do whatever.
Yeah, and maybe that's a day-night trade-off. Maybe days we leave open for golf tournaments. Which are booked a certain time in advance, and then if they're not booked, we leave it open to residents and evenings.
Yeah, and which we currently do. I mean, we work together with golf and events, so they cannot book an event until at least 3 o'clock, just in case, because golf tournaments come in 30 to 40 days out, whereas weddings are a year out sometimes. So somebody may come to us 30 days out, and so we tell somebody you can't come in earlier until 30 days out, because by then we're going to know if there's a tournament. So that way we leave it open for both. So there's a win-win that's happening now that we had to kind of work through, and it's working good. But again, going forward, we're willing to do whatever.
Yeah, so I'd like to hear from everybody in terms of just even quickly from each council member where you stand in terms of revenue versus residents, because that's the trade-off we're being asked to make.
Well, I personally think we can find a happy medium where, again, we have maybe a couple of nights a week that we reserve for residents to be able to use it, whether, because the community events, I mean, we can do more of those, but really we can only, I don't see us doing more than one community event per quarter, just from a budget standpoint. Like the Santa party and mm-hmm. the breakfast are, I don't know how much they are, $2,000?
No, they're not even that much. They're probably anywhere from $400 to $800.
Okay.
The problem is it's always the Parks and Trails Committee that does them, so we're always scrambling for volunteers. So we have the parks, we have the community breakfast here on a couple Saturdays, and it's always a matter of getting the manpower, getting the grills, getting it. It's a lot of volunteer time.
Right.
That's what it is.
So I guess in my vision, I would love to see maybe a community-wide event like that on that scale, maybe once a quarter, but find more things that we can do in the basement, like the merit badges and things like that. But as far as this room goes, have it be available, like I said, maybe Mondays and Tuesdays for residents to utilize at a very discounted rate and still have the revenue coming in from receptions and weddings on the Wednesday through Saturday, which is, from what I assume, are the days that they're being utilized right. mostly for those events
right.
anyway.
Right.
And that way, we're kind of finding this middle ground.
And then maybe the other days, if there's nothing booked, they also can get Wednesday, Thursday.
Of course, if it's within 30 days or
sure.
whatever, that I don't know what the rule is.
Sure, and what we try to do, like baby shower is a great example. We do a lot of baby showers. We try to push them downstairs to the south side because that multi-purpose room really is a great room, and then we can still keep this open for potentially for weddings or whatever. It's a great means for us to be able to have multi-purposes that are taking place. And even the conference room, we're trying to push a little bit more.
Seems to be a happy medium, though. I mean, focusing on Monday and Tuesday that's not being used.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to shoot yourself in the foot by hurting tournaments and corporate events or weddings or whatever that drive revenue. But if we've got if we have capacity that's available on Mondays and Tuesdays, why not make it available to the residents? I think that's a good idea.
So Tuesdays, we actually are going forward, we actually are not booking for anything because we have City Council and we have Planning Commission.
City Council is only two Tuesdays.
Yeah, and then we have the Planning Commission the third. So I know a lot of times we've been going downstairs, and quite frankly, tell me if I'm wrong, I've just said let's discontinue that, because to me this is the place to hold City Council meetings, and I just think there's something about being here. Now, if you want us to do differently, we can, but to me there's just something about the residents coming and seeing this whole view rather than being down somewhere where there's no windows.
Maybe we should talk again at the end of this year about making our council meetings on Wednesday. I know that would make Daniel quite happy. But if we look at that, and if it does make sense, I'm not saying it does, but if it does make sense, then that frees up Monday and Tuesday to do this whatever we want, residents to do whatever they want. We meet on Wednesday. So not saying that's what I want to do. I'm just saying we should talk about that.
Good discussion points. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else? The right side of the table?
Yeah, you want to hear from all of
us? Yeah, I want to hear from Robin. I want to hear from Mike on
that. My feelings are that we should lower the price extremely for the residents from Monday through Wednesday. And I also noticed that Saturday mornings are pretty vacant here too. It's mostly afternoons for the wedding receptions. I think we could have a Saturday morning activity occasionally for teenagers, maybe bring in a ping pong table and have some fun activity like that. Yeah. But I don't know.
The hard part with that is it's just like anything in this building, it's a storage issue. Oh. You know, we'd love to have a piano, but there's just nowhere to store it. And there's, you know, that's a hard thing. Now, Saturdays, you're right. I mean, a lot of times something's not booked, but that's a day where a lot of times the wedding people love to come and do their setup early.
Okay,
so there's an additional charge for them if they're able to do that. If we don't have something like next Saturday is the pancake breakfast, so they can't come in. So we're going to be doing a quick switch over right afterwards, and then they're coming right after us to set up for a wedding. So.
But yeah, anything to make it so that it is an affordable amount Monday through Wednesday for the residents. I wouldn't want to cut into the revenue because I think that's important to the city too. So.
I think that's a fair trade-off, just my opinion, because Monday, Tuesdays, we don't really do a ton.
Mike, you got any comments?
I just like to – I pretty much agree with everybody. I'd like to see as much community involvement with the building here, if we can. I think our rates are reasonable.
Yeah.
What we currently charge.
Well, I think in terms of the events, the rates are reasonable. And so otherwise we wouldn't be as busy as we are, right? Because if our rental rates for events was too high, we wouldn't have any business.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the market is telling us that we're priced right. However, there's capacity within the schedule of the building to make it available to residents for a very discounted rate. I think we're all agreeing on that.
Yeah. Only thing is I'd caution that I'd much rather see Wade book a golf tournament on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and utilize this facility then rent it for $10 to a resident, because that just brings revenue, much more revenue
than,
you know, someone that's having a shower they could have in their own house. So
yeah, well, we definitely need more tournaments, and so I'm not sure why we can't do both.
Why we
couldn't have golf tournaments during the days, because I'm imagining the resident events that I'm thinking of are going to take place in the evening, because people have usually jobs during the day. And
well, I think there's talking about like daytime activities.
There's probably some of both, but if you're doing a like an Eagle Merit Badge, award or whatever.
Yeah, that's
probably going to take place in the evening.
Or a Saturday, yeah.
Sometimes birthday parties would take place during the day, but maybe we can split the room in half like it is right now. So there's lots of things we can figure out.
Sure. Well, we have four distinct areas, too. I mean, if you're doing a Merit Badge thing, you can do another room.
We even have five, if you think about it, with the conference room thrown in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those are the ones I can see the discounted rates very easily, you know.
Absolutely.
And I agree with your point. I mean, we would love to have tournaments Monday, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, but we're really at the mercy of the businesses that schedule
them.
Okay. But I would say for things like a birthday party or a baby shower, especially if it's being put together by a female, they're going to want the pretty room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They typically do. And to be honest, when it comes down to it, it's a price thing at the end when it's all said and done. So they'll go downstairs.
So I think we can accomplish both. I think that we're all on the same page there. Let's move on.
I have a few more comments.
Go ahead.
They're slightly different, but I think maybe some ideas to think about. One is I'd like us to look at decorating the downstairs room.
Look at what?
Decorating the downstairs room. It's rather plain right now. It's got a bunch of bikes, exercise bikes stored in it. If we want that to be...
Well, it doesn't anymore.
Oh, it doesn't. Great. Mm-hmm. If we want that to be a room that's attractive for residents, I think we should
do a little bit more.
It wouldn't be very expensive.
I would love to see, and we've talked a little bit to the arts committee, have them have like an arts gallery, you know, throughout the walls and stuff like that and spruce it up.
There's a number of things like that we could do, yeah. The second thing I'd like to see is I'd like to see much better advertising of our resident rates to our residents, because I don't think they're aware that they can get it for cheaper, and especially if we're going to change and extend the days or have certain days that they can get it for a lot cheaper rate. I'd like it to be within reach of everybody, something like $20 an hour where they can even get this space on a Monday or Tuesday night. Right now, the rate sheet that you're showing me, actually, I have a hard time parsing it. It's very confusing. I'd love to have a resident-only rate sheet that's separate from the normal rate sheet. I'd love that to be given to every resident as a flyer or a mailer to their house so that they're aware of it. I'd love to see it very prominent on our websites. We can point residents to it and say, look, we're doing a lot for you. We want you to use this building.
Yeah, good ideas.
So I think we need to do that. And then the third thing is, I think this is maybe longer term. It might take us a year or two to get here, but I think we need to rethink our use of the grill space. That grill has not succeeded. I think if the golf course wants to have a place for hot dogs and sodas and sandwiches, that we should move that into their space, into the clubhouse, and repurpose that space as a space that residents can always come to, no matter the day, as long as it's during business hours, that they have a place that they can come.
To do what?
I think that could be simply a place with chairs that, where they could sit and
just
relax.
Like a business center.
But it also could be one of those free libraries, like a little free library, where we could put in lots of bookshelves for residents to populate with extra books from their homes, and they could check those out for free. But I'd love that to be a place that we could creatively think of ways for residents to use it. It's really a resident space in there, as opposed to kind of a failed attempt at a restaurant.
Anything else?
I have a question with that in mind. This might be completely off topic, but what didn't someone want to have a restaurant in here? How did that go? Is there an update on that?
My understanding is, as of tomorrow, I think we're sending out FRPs again. RFPs.
But we had one. Is that?
We have one that has approached us who's actually a food truck. And I think there's others. I mean, we definitely want to send it out. We want to put it out there again. And I think that's a discussion that's going to come to you at some point. I really think, to your point, you know, the success or the failure of it, I think really comes down to the cost perspective. And I think my personal feeling is we probably should try to work with them a little more from that perspective, so that they'll stick around a little bit longer. And maybe we work in more of the percentages based off of their success, you know, a smaller rental rate. Anyway, I'm going off topic here. But, yes, I think it's going out tomorrow. Yep. Is that still the latest? Okay. So hopefully we're shooting for September 1st to be somebody to be there if it all works out.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Okay. Chandler, why don't you take – I don't think you need a lot of time, but take about 7 minutes or so and talk about item number 7, which is drainage easement modification.
Yeah. If you look at your packet, there's a plat map. For Canyon Heights Plat B, it's the portion that is Silver Lake Drive. If you look at it in between lots 23 and 24 on the east side, you see that there's marked a 30-foot drainage public utility easement, 15 feet on both sides of the property line. What we're finding is we had a gentleman approach the city about 2-3 weeks ago. Lot 23, there's a home on lot 23. Lot 24 is vacant. The gentleman that owns lot 23, the home there, approached the city and talked about, actually it was the buyer that approached the city doing due diligence in purchasing the house, that found that the home actually sits over the easement. Where there's a 15-foot easement there, the home sits about 9 to 10 feet away from the property line, so the home encroaches on the easement about 5 feet. In meeting with Jeff and David and discussing this easement and going up on site and looking at it, there's not currently any utilities running through there. However, there could be one day. We don't want to vacate the easement in its entirety. What we're proposing is vacating the portion of the easement that the home sits on, because while there's nothing there, it is not impossible, but maybe impractical to use that portion of the easement in order to, or if there's a home sitting there.
So does the dwelling itself sit on the easement?
Yeah. So, and this is a problem that probably came up 10, 15 years ago. It's a problem that's been sitting there dormant until it reared its head this last week. Typically, those setbacks in that zone are 12 feet from the side, and the home sits about 9 to 10 feet. So I don't know if they were measuring when they built the home from the wrong property pin. I don't know what the story is there. All I know is that the home sits, like I said, 9 to 10 feet away from the property line. And they'd like us to vacate that portion of the easement that the home sits on in order for them to not have any title issues or any legal issues if that easement ever needed to be used. However, the remainder of the easement, which would be about probably about 20 to 25 feet, would still be enough for the city to use in future use for any sewer, storm drain, or any other utility that we would need to place through there. So it's pretty straightforward.
So remind me, what kinds of utilities might go in there? You briefly mentioned them.
Jeff had discussed the possibility of a sewer easement going through there up heading towards the west. If there is ever to be any future development further up on the hill, And then the other issue was the possibility of a drainage easement on that portion. The natural drainage, actually, rather than going between lots 23 and 24, when we visited on site, lot 24 and 25 are both vacant lots. And the natural drainage actually goes in between lot 24 and 25. So there's actually a little bit of a swell there that is currently being used for any off-site drainage coming off the mountain.
So if we reduce the easement there, is there still enough room to put in any future utilities that we might need to put in there?
And we don't typically put utility easement or utility lines directly under the property line. We like to have them offset so that we're not tearing up a fence in the case that we have to get to a line. So it would still leave enough space on lot 24 in order to put in a line or any sort of work.
Do we need to readjust or ask for an easement between 24 and 25 to provide proper drainage through there?
We will probably need to revisit that. That is something that we'll need to look at as far as containing that off-site storage, drainage into the city's storm drain system. But for the purposes of this discussion, we're only discussing the easement on lot 23 and 24, but that was something that David and I discussed in our visit up on site there.
Is it realistic we might have homes up there on the hillside someday?
I have a hard time seeing it. It is the city's property back there. I hate ever telling anybody that it'll never happen, but it is the city's property and it is open space, so it is difficult. I think there's some legal hurdles that anybody would have to go through in order to put homes there. Because I think the city takes that open space as part of development agreements so that they can cluster, because these homes are in the H1 zone, and they're closer together, and the setbacks are a little bit narrower than what would typically be allowed in the H1 zone if you were to develop a one-lot subdivision. So it's called clustering a development, and that open space is dedicated to make up for that space that would have otherwise been a part of that development.
So what happened that this house was built on the easement? How did that happen?
I wish I had a good answer for that. The house was built, I want to say, probably 15 years ago. And like I said, it's happened before. I've seen where they pull, when they're laying the foundation for the home, they pull their measurements from the wrong property line or the wrong property line pin. That's my guess. It predating me by about a decade, I have a hard time saying.
So this is a utility easement, right?
It is, but it's not currently being used.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, we do have a couple of purposes for exec session tonight. One of them, which is to go in for competency regarding Mr. Bunker's contract, and the other is the potential litigation. And I think you guys received an email yesterday on that. So I'd like to go into exec session now to handle the potential litigation. I think we have time to do that adequately. And then we'll go into council meeting, and then go after council meeting, we'll go into exec session again to discuss Mr. Bunker's contract. So that sounds good to everyone. And I will take a motion to go into exec session for not character or competence now, but for potential litigation.
That code isn't on our agenda, so I don't know the number. All right. He's got it. All right. I move that we move into executive session pursuant to Utah Code 52-4-2051C to discuss pending or reasonably imminent litigation.
Okay. I have a motion. Is there a second?
A second.
Motion's been seconded by
Mr. Chair. Okay, again,
I wasn't sure which one of you guys.
Again, the location of the meeting needs to be stated.
Sorry, and I will amend my motion to say that this will occur at the community center.
Thank you.
I'll second it again.
Okay, motion's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Great. Let's excuse those that need to be excused, and then we'll handle this.
Gary?